In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of the Great Fast, and we read the parable of the prodigal son, where the Lord describes these two sons, the younger and the older. The younger seeks the inheritance of his father, and his father gives it to him while he is still living, and he goes and he wastes all of what he had, and then he repents and returns. And then the older son is bitter toward the younger, because the father is rejoicing at his return and having this big celebration when he returned. And the parable, which kind of gives us a good contrast between the older son and the younger son, is one of many parables that the Lord speaks to compare two different people together. And so I want to speak a little bit about some of the things that we learn from this parable, and also some of the other parables that the Lord also spoke that kind of compares and contrasts two concepts and the actions of two people, and what is it that we can learn from them. So the first parable is, of course, the parable of today. It says, "But when he was angry and would not go in," speaking about the older brother, "therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.'" So clearly in this story, the younger son indeed did sin by taking the money of his father and wasting it on sinful activities. He misused the things of his father. But after he lost it all, he repented of this old life that he had, and he embraced a new kind of life. And actually, when he returned to his father, he wasn't even like expecting that his father would accept him again as a son, but as a hired servant. And he came back to his father with brokenness and humility. But then we see the actions of the father was merciful and kind. Of course, the father represents God in this parable, merciful and kind, and granting the son what he did not deserve, which is a second chance to come and to be redeemed. But the older son, who maybe when you read the story, one would think that this is the wiser son, the obedient son, the one who didn't go and waste his father's things or live a sinful life. He was actually the one who was upset, and he lacked mercy in his heart for his younger brother. And so this parable is a comparison between the one who received mercy and the one who was unwilling to give it. The one who received mercy was the younger son, that though he sinned in his life, and yet he actually is of higher status and better status than the one who never did, because he returned with repentance and brokenness and humility, whereas the older son, who maybe from the eyes of the people was the more righteous one, the one who didn't have a sordid history, someone who did all of these evil and sinful things in the past, and yet because of his lack of mercy, by the end of the story, the younger son is the one who is justified and righteous before God, and the older son is the one actually, the one who never committed those sins. He's actually the one who is in a dangerous status because of his lack of mercy. So again, this parable compares these two concepts, the one who receives mercy and the one who is unwilling to give mercy. Another parable where the Lord gave to compare two different people is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Another example, again, that we see in this comparison between the two, the self-righteous Pharisee gloried in his religious practices. He gloried in his righteousness. He gloried that he did not have all of the sins that this tax collector had, and he condemned the one who did. And yet, in the end, Christ, in telling the story, he, in this comparison, he actually praised the tax collector. He says the tax collector is the one who went home justified rather than the Pharisee. And so this is a comparison between those who look at their own sins with those who look at their own righteousness. There are some of us, when we look inside ourselves, what we see is the dirty things, the wicked things, the dark things, the things that are shameful And because of that, we turn to God in repentance, we seek His mercy, we are humbled, and we don't judge others because we ourselves know that we are the ones who should be judged. We are the ones who should be condemned. When I look inside myself, this is what I see. There are other people, when they look inside themselves, instead of seeing their weaknesses and sins, all they see is their good qualities. All they see is their righteousness. And so in their righteousness, they feel like, I am not really in need of the mercy of God. I do not really need to show mercy to others, and maybe I judge others and I condemn others because when I look at myself, I find nothing worthy of condemnation myself. And so again, we see an example of a righteous man. Someone would look at this Pharisee and say that he is the righteous of the two, and a sinful man, and yet in the eyes of Christ, the sinful man was the one who was justified because he sought mercy and he sought forgiveness from God for his sins, and he was honest and open with who he was and his weaknesses, rather than the Pharisee who was blinded by his self-righteousness and did not see himself clearly, and so he remained unforgiven. So again, the man who is the sinner is the one who was praised. We read also another parable comparing the building of the house. Building of the house either on the rock or building the house on the sand. Also a comparison of two things. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So this wise man who built his house on the rock, he was a person who planned ahead. He thought to himself, the day will come where there will be storms, and those storms are going to be so severe that it will shake the foundation of my house and potentially destroy my house altogether. So even though as I build the house today, that the weather is clear and everything seems fine, and maybe the extra expense and difficulty of building the house on a solid foundation, it's extra work that has to be done, that maybe in this moment I feel like is not necessary, because there is no wind, there is no waves, there is no storm, and if I were to build my house just in any old place, the house would stand just fine. Whereas the foolish person is the one who said, you know, I'm not going to plan for the events of the future. I'm going to just build my house wherever it is because everything seems fine today and just hope for the best. So this is a comparison between the one who prepares ahead of time for the hard and difficult times. This is the one who prepares ahead of time in his spiritual life, knowing that there will be a test, knowing that there will be a test of faith, knowing that there will be difficulties and trials to come, even if we don't experience them now, compared to the one who only cares about the present moment. The person who only sees this moment and doesn't plan ahead, doesn't anticipate what is it going to come. Whether those challenges are spiritual challenges or emotional challenges, physical, financial, relationship challenges, whatever the challenge is, whatever the difficulty is that it is that we are going to face in the future, the wise person looks ahead and plans ahead, whereas the foolish person says, I'm just going to do whatever is easiest now. So this person who built his house on the rock, of course, identifying that this rock is Christ, that we are building ourselves on Him, we are building ourselves on a solid foundation, we are investing in our spiritual life, even if we feel like in this present moment, everything seems to be going fine. There doesn't seem to be any catastrophe or any difficulty. Everything seems to be going fine. But I know that I am in need of Christ. I am in need of forgiveness. I am in need of mercy. I am in need of His help. And so we build our house on the rock and not build our house on the sand. So again, this is a comparison between the wise who plans and the foolish who does not. We also have the parable of the faithful servant and the evil servant. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a... The parable of the faithful servant. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he was not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is a story of like a landowner, or a person who owns this household, and he is away traveling. And while he is away, he decides to put a steward, someone who is going to serve his house and take care of his house while he is away. The wise servant is the one whom, when his master is away, manages everything wisely, invests his time, is just in the way that he deals with people, doesn't indulge or abuse the authority that he has. Whereas the foolish servant is the one who makes an opportunity, now that my master is away, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to eat and drink and abuse the other servants and use my authority in a way that is destructive. So this is a comparison between the one who is faithful with what God has given him with the one who abuses it. Because in the end of the story, the master will return, and when he finds the servant who was faithful, he will be rewarded, and when he finds the servant who was unfaithful, he will be punished. So the person who uses the things that God has given us while we have this opportunity is the wise. We are stewards of everything that we have. Sometimes we imagine ourselves to be the owners. And if I am the owner, then I choose for myself the path of life. If I choose for myself the way I should live, I choose for myself everything because I am the owner. But God emphasizes to us again and again that we are not the owners, we are the stewards. God has granted us every good thing. God has allowed us to use and benefit from every good thing, even our own bodies. But he asks us to live a certain way. He asks us to use the things he gave us a certain way, to use the talents that he gave us a certain way. And for those of us who are wise and use the talents and the things that God has gave us a certain way, there is a reward. But for those who use the things in a way that God did not intend, or neglect the talents and the gifts that God has given us, then those will be condemned when the master returns. So again, this is a comparison between two things: the person who is faithful with what he has received, and the person who is unwise with the thing that he received. Another parable that we learn from comparison is called the parable of the two sons. Usually when people think of the two sons, they think of the prodigal son and his brother, which is the one that we read today. But this is another parable, maybe not as well known. It says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him.'" So in this parable of the two sons, the first son, when his father told him to go to work, his reaction was, "No, I'm not going to go to work." But then when he thought about it to himself, he changed his mind. He decided that going and obeying his father was the right thing to be done, and so he chose to go to the work. The second son, whenever his father said, "Go to work," he knew that the right answer was, "Yes, I will go to do whatever you tell me to do." But in practice, he never went. He never actually did any of the work. And so the Lord compared these two to the Pharisees, and again the harlots and the tax collectors. The Pharisees are like the ones who always have the right answer. You know, when God comes and tells them, "Go do the work," they're, "Of course, yes, of course, Father, of course, God, we're going to do whatever it is you tell us to do." But in practice, how do they live? They live wickedly. They live in a wicked way. They live in a way that is actually far from God. Even though it might be hidden, it appears like they are righteous. It appears like they say and do the right things. Compared to the tax collectors and the harlots. And anyone looking at them would be like, these people are sinners. These people are clearly living in a way contrary to God. But these are the ones actually who received Christ. These are the ones who received the message of salvation, who repented of their sins. And just as the Lord said, they enter the kingdom of heaven before you. Speaking to the Pharisees, they enter the kingdom of heaven before you. Because they actually did practice. They put into practice the things that they were told. So this comparison between the person who chooses to do the right thing, even if it takes time to get there, and even if they have a bad reputation, even if it appears like maybe that they are not righteous, and yet they are in the eyes of God righteous because their heart is pure and their heart is good and they seek repentance, compared to those who maybe have the best reputation, who have high position and high rank and seem in front of all the people to be the best and the most righteous, whereas in the end they are the ones who are rejected by God. The last parable that I want to read is the parable of the two debtors. It says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. So in this story, there are two debtors, two people that owe money. One person owes a large amount of money, and one person owes a lesser amount of money. And in the end, the master, the one who gave them the money, forgave their debts, both of them. So they don't owe anything anymore. So Christ is asking, which of them is going to be more appreciative of what has happened, of the fact that their debt has been removed? And so the Pharisee responded, the one who was forgiven more. And Christ agreed with this answer. He said, yes, the one who was given more is going to be more appreciative of the master because of what he was forgiven. And the message here is not regarding money, but the message is regarding our sin. The one who knows his sin clearly, the one who sees himself clearly, looks inside and doesn't just see righteousness, but sees wickedness, sees the sin, sees defilement, the one who sees this, when they see that the Lord has actually paid for their sin and absolved them of their sin and cleansed them of their sin and forgiven them and shown them mercy, this person will love God extremely. Because what you have offered me is something great. Whereas the person who owes less, it's not that they have no appreciation, but their attachment to Christ for what he has offered them is less. Because if someone has a jail sentence, a prison sentence for 50 years, or a lifetime sentence, and then the governor comes and pardons them, and they are they are acquitted, and they are pardoned of this crime, this sentence that they have, this prison time that they are called to serve, that person would be extremely, extremely thankful. Much more than a person who only has to serve 1 month in jail and then they are pardoned. Okay, 1 month wasn't a big deal. Like, I could have handled 1 month, but a whole lifetime, this is very different. The people are going to react differently. And so the comparison here is between those who know their sins and those who do not. Sometimes we see our spiritual life as being duties and requirements and commandments and checkpoints and things that we have to do, and maybe we do them begrudgingly. Maybe we do them this way sometimes because we don't realize how much in need of God we are. We see God as someone that we are meant to please, someone that we just worship, someone that demands of us certain things that we are called to give him. And in that, after some time, maybe we become fatigued and tired of giving and giving and giving, and maybe we become burnt out even on our spiritual life. But the person who sees themselves as being unworthy and sees themselves as being deserving of condemnation and seeing God as the one actually who saves us from the condemnation that we have earned by our own hands and by our own sin, that person doesn't see their spiritual life as being one of checkpoints and duties and requirements. They see their spiritual life as being one of salvation and forgiveness and truly like a relationship with someone who saves them from complete destruction. Right? And that's a very big difference between the way that different people maybe see God. And it's all based on how I see myself. If I see myself as a good and righteous person, then maybe to me God is actually extra. He's kind of superfluous. He's just somebody that I go and I do certain things on Sunday at church in order to appease him. Right? But if I see God as being the one who saves me from condemnation, the one who has given all of himself to me though I do not deserve, this person will have a much deeper and more fulfilling relationship with Christ. So today we spoke about several parables, and specifically the parable that we read in the gospel, the parable of the prodigal son, where we can compare him to his brother. The Lord teaches us many examples through the scripture in very, very simple stories, very simple ways for us to learn, and yet they have very deep and meaningful understandings that we can learn from and we can benefit from. May God grant us to always learn and have wisdom through the teachings of Christ, and glory be to God forever. Amen.